Blog Talk Radio.
Squad Sports Radio Show. This is Puma along with Ice Water. November 20th, man. They're playing Christmas music here, Ice. It's not even Thanksgiving.
Chicago,
yet. They're playing Christmas music.
Chicago.
Man, it's been colder than Christmas. I could say that. Check us out on our First 40 on YouTube. We just wrapped up a show. I will be editing it later to put it up on YouTube. Look for it late tonight or early tomorrow morning. Please subscribe. My boy Randy on the East Coast, man, thank you for checking us out. He said, I finally had a chance to check it out, and he said, you guys are on point, man. I appreciate the love, bro. Continue to watch and encourage others to watch. We're going to go into our picks, unless, Ice, you have some other news, because I have one story that I want to talk about really quickly, but anything in the overtime you want to bring out?
I'm gonna serve Black Thor's purpose. I'm gonna defer to you, brother, so we can really get down into the subject that you want to talk about.
Yes, ladies, Black Thor is not here this week. So look up other shows like When Black Men Talk to hear his sexy voice. But he's not here this week. He did send me his picks, and I do have them in the book. I'm waiting for one more pick. He didn't pick the Chicago, New York Giants. Well, there he is right there. But I want to give special condolences to Harrison Dillard. He was a four-time gold medalist in the hurdles. He died at, we said black folks passed away at 96. And so I want to give him his kudos because a lot of people don't know too much about Harrison Dillard and some of the gold medalists that have ran in the Olympics, despite sometimes being in situations where black folks weren't really welcome. So I want to give him his flowers. Too bad we couldn't give him his flowers when he was still alive, but a peaceful journey. Anything on Mr. Dillard? Ice.
Yeah, as you mentioned, like you said, the struggles that that these individuals face to and then have to perform is amazing from that standpoint. You think about it from that standpoint. But you always point to Jesse Owens. You imagine what Jesse Owens went through, and he was supposed to be a star. Imagine when him having to ride on the bottom of a boat to compete in the Olympics in Germany. He's a star guy. He did everything and crushed everything that Germany had put up in front of him. But his accommodations were second or third class. So individuals like this gentleman, I'm sure, went through the same thing. And the fact that it took so long to really recognize him for how great he was is a travesty, but we still acknowledge him and ask that he rest in peace.
Yeah, and him and men like him and Jesse Owens and countless others have paved the way for athletes today. And I wish these athletes would take some time to recognize that and have more respect for the sport and their platform and use their platform to make it better for the next generation, because I think men like this did that. And, you know, like I said, peaceful journey. This is dope. Man, let's look at the places this week. We're in the 12th week of the football season, and I said last week when the picks were coming in, Black really took a swing for a home run, and, boy, he kind of paid for it this week. And so me and Pop came in with a 12-2 record last week, in week 11. Icewater came in with 11-3 record, and Black Thor took a big hit, and he had a 8-6 record. So it is Team Puma in first place with a 109-52-1 record. Team Pop is firmly in second place with a 102-59-1 record. Black Thor slips down to number three with a 97-64-1 record. And look who's coming behind Black Thor in a tight race. Only two games separate you. Icewater with a 95-66-1 record. Ice, you're making hay, man. You're making hay. What do you got to say?
You know what? It's so deep, man, that you make little strides all you can, and just we'll see what happens. I'm not going to really say anything. I'm going to let my work do the talking, brother.
All right, the pick orders changed this week. So it's me first. Black Thor comes second. Icewater is third, and Pop is picking last. So I already have my picks down. I already have Black Thor. He just came in with his pick, last pick, and Pop put his pick in earlier. So let's get to this and pick these picks. And I want to thank the folks who've been giving us some kudos about our picks. They think they're noticing, so they're following, and maybe it's helping you make some money. So you're welcome. All right, first week, we got Indianapolis versus Houston. And I got to go with Houston. Even though Indianapolis played well last week and they helped me win last week, I'm going to go with Houston. Black Thor is going with Indianapolis, the away team. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think Indianapolis, their running back is hurt. Marion Mack is hurt. So, and Brissett is back. So, I got to go with Brissett is back. But I think the way that Houston got manhandled, they need to find a way to get back on track. So, I'm going to go with Houston at home.
Yeah, they got to make hay to get in the playoffs. And Pop is picking Houston, too. If they want to make that playoff run, they got to do this. Next game on tap ice is Tampa Bay versus Atlanta. Atlanta's been playing some very strong football the last couple of weeks. What I heard last week, and I think I mentioned on the show last week, is that the organization was saying, hey, we're going to make some changes if you guys don't step up and play. And they've been playing ever since. It's kind of a wonder when you tell people that you're going to lose your job if you don't work, when people start working. So I'm going with Atlanta. Black Thor is also going with Atlanta, too. Ice, who you got?
Man, I so bad want to I want to go with Tampa Bay so bad. But unfortunately, Atlanta's won its last five games against Tampa Bay. So I can't go against the trend, so I got to go with Atlanta.
Papa's going with Atlanta, too. And Arians must be sick, man, because he I think he took a year or two off from coaching and came back, and they thought he had the formula to turn this team around. But I thought it was a big mistake for him to keep Jameson, but he decided that was my quarterback. And it seemed like, sometimes Jameson could turn the corner and really kind of play well, and then he could just make bonehead play after bonehead play to take the team right out of contention. So I don't know what he's going to do. Well, I think a lot of teams in the NFL need a quarterback, but I don't know if they'll draft, try to trade, or go to that 100 list that you have on our Facebook page to grab one of those losers. But the next game on tap is Denver versus Buffalo. I got to go with Buffalo at home, even though Denver played really well in previous weeks. And they played really well against Minnesota and lost. I still think away from home, they're not going to be the same team. So I got to go with Buffalo. Black Thor is also going with Buffalo. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, I like Allen and the way they move the ball. John Brown showed up last week. Tremendous. I don't think they're going to stop doing what they do. So I think they're going to keep moving forward. So I'm going to take Buffalo.
All right. Pop is going with Buffalo also. This is a tough game that a lot of – I know my Pop had – he spent a lot of time trying to figure out who he's going to pick in this game. But I was kind of laughing when he did pick the team that he picked. I'm laughing at Black, too. But the New York Jets, the New York Giants, I'm sorry, versus the Chicago Bears. Chicago is at home, so I'm going to go with the Giants because I trust their quarterback more than I trust the Chicago Bears quarterback. Trubisky, they said he had a hip injury last game. I don't think so. He couldn't hit receivers. He was seeing ghosts back there playing against the Rams. And I don't know what to say about this Bears team. I got a lot of people who are Bears fans here that won't even talk to me. So and now they're out of playoff contention when a lot of people were saying that this was going to be a Super Bowl team, Ice. Black is going with the Bears. He's going with the Bears at home. I guess he's had enough of seeing the Giants, so he's going with the Bears. Who you got?
Wow. Oh, man, this is tough. You've seen two different types of Bears teams. But you know what? You don't know if Trubisky's starting or whatever. I think they have enough to go after it. I think they want to win a game. I'm gonna roll with those Bears at home. Yep. Bears at home. I think have enough.
All right. Papa's going with the Bears, too. Another reason why I'm picking the Giants because the Giants beat them in the preseason. And I think they're going to beat them in the regular season. As simple as that.
That's one of them little known facts Black Thor like to throw at you. Them little known facts. He said, you like to drop them nuggets. We're going to hold you to it if it don't work.
Yeah, they beat them in the preseason, and they handled them in the preseason. And I don't see these teams being any different from the preseason teams that I saw. So I think they could beat them. Next game on tap is Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati has not won a game this season. And I kind of miss Marvin, man. I kind of miss Marvin. But I think Pittsburgh will beat them. Black Thor also picked Pittsburgh. They're the away team. Ice, who you got?
If Andy Dalton was healthy, I would go with Cincinnati. Because I'm not impressed by Pittsburgh. But I saw last week. And particularly if Smith-Schuster doesn't play. But Bengals trying to, I don't know what's going on. So I'm going to choose Pittsburgh.
All right. Pop picked Pittsburgh too. But I wanted to ask you about Cincinnati since you're in the state. What's really going on there, man? Are they talking about coaching change? Or what are they saying about this particular team? Because Marvin Lewis did better than this. And as soon as they cut him loose, this team just the bottom is falling out.
Well, they're not talking about coaching change simply because of the fact that that's a young coach. He does have some pretty good ideas. You have not played all year without – you played all year without A.J. Green, your primary go-getter. And they really just have been putting Band-Aids on things and trying to fix stuff up. So they're going to take their lumps. They're going to go through what they can do. And you might see a totally different team next year, the way it looks. But they like this coach, and they like the energy that he brings – despite the way that they're losing.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, they have fallen. I mean, you know, they really, to me, in the last few years, were able to have good regular seasons, maybe get to the playoffs. But this team is just, I mean, just disastrous. Next game on tap is Miami versus Cleveland. Got to go with Cleveland, even though they're losing a defensive tackle from suspension last week. Not even going to go into that story because it's been played to death. Black Thor is going with Cleveland, too. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, I was looking at some other stuff, but I think they're going to be on the road. They're kind of hyped up and excited, especially with Garrett going down or being suspended. So I'm going to take Cleveland as well.
All right. Pop is going with Cleveland. It's Cleveland across the board. This should be an interesting game. Carolina versus New Orleans. I'm going to go with New Orleans at home. Maybe they will bounce back from the game that they had, I guess, against the Atlanta Falcons. I'm looking for them to bounce back from that. Black Thor is going with New Orleans also. Who you got?
Yeah, I last week I did not even know that McCaffrey got shut down. I mean, he was shut down. I've never seen him shut down like that ever. But I'm not sure if New Orleans can do that, but I think they can win because 9 points is just unacceptable. I mean, you had last week, they did pretty well with Michael Thomas catching the ball. But I think they'll get back on track and they'll beat, they'll outscore Carolina, so New Orleans.
Yeah, because you texted me, like, what's wrong with Carolina? And then New Orleans got beat by Atlanta the previous week. They beat Tampa Bay last week, but it was still like they still hadn't fully recovered from that loss with Atlanta because Tampa Bay was giving them a run for their money until Jameson made some mistakes. So they got to play much better if they're going to be that NFC team to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. That's what they said they were going to do last year, and they got cheated. And I said at the beginning of the year, prove it to us that you're that team that's going to do that this year. The next game on tap is Oakland versus the New York Jets. Oakland's been playing real good football, and they're in the hunt for the playoffs. Wow. I didn't expect to see them win a game. They're in the hunt for a playoff. They're against the Jets, and the Jets won last week playing some inspired football against the Washington team. I'm going with Oakland. Probably one of the few times that I picked them this year. I think I picked them last week, and I'm picking them again this week. Black is picking them also. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Oakland. They've been able to move the ball. They have a nice wide receiver tight end combination with the quarterback. And they've been playing pretty strong. Defense is kind of playing a lot better. And I think this is a game they can win. They beat some teams that we didn't think they would. They would be a little bit more suspect. But kudos to them for playing hard and playing like what seems to be a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if they make the playoffs. I know there's some AFC teams that are playing hard. I think Pittsburgh is still in the hunt. Oakland is still in the hunt. So there are a few teams that are still in the hunt. You got Houston also. So let's see if they can really kind of carry this out throughout the whole season. Pop is also with Oakland too. Next game on tap, this is going to be a real tough game. Seattle versus Philadelphia. Of course, Philadelphia had a chance to beat New England last week. And I kind of think New England, in some respects, are in trouble because Brady can't throw touchdown passes. And they need some help at the receiving. And Gronk just said, hey, I'm out for this season, so don't come looking at me. And so Brady is last week at the press conference, he was looking kind of sad. He wasn't, popping that scenario that I can play till 50. He was getting smacked around last week from that Philly defense. But I'm going to go with Seattle in this game over Philadelphia. Black is going with Seattle also. Icewater, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with, I can't go against Russell Wilson. That's like my favorite player in the league right now. So I'd be remiss to go against that young man. He's getting it done. I like his attitude. I like his swag. So Russell Wilson in Seattle.
You still got him on your fantasy team?
Oh, no doubt. He didn't play last week because I had a bye. So I had to – my backup is Allen from Buffalo, and he showed out for me. I picked up John Brown, too, so I had a hell of a week. I've only won 3 games, so we were popping champagne.
All right, it's Seattle across the board. Pop picks Seattle also. The next team on tap is – or the teams on tap is Detroit versus Washington, and this is Detroit's game before the Thanksgiving Day game. That's coming up Thursday after next. And I'm going with Detroit over Washington. I know Haskins is the guy that is coming in to play quarterback, but don't think he's ready yet. Not ready to win football team. It's not because of him. It's because of the team he plays for. Black is going with Detroit also. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, I was wondering. I think the quarterback is still out. Is that correct? Detroit.
Yes, I think so, but I still got to go with him.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a chance that Matthew Stafford could be out for the rest of the year. But they still, the Lions have been able to move the ball. Like, they were still making things happen against Dallas. So that alone, Washington is just bad. It's a bad situation, and they're not moving the ball. And I think that's going to be that's not going to be enough against the Lions. So I'm going to go with the Lions.
All right. Pop is going with the Lions, too. I thought Detroit, the quarterback was kind of feeling, getting a little feeling of the game against Dallas, especially towards the in the third quarter or fourth quarter, getting a little bit more confident. And I don't know why, but, you know, this is going to be his third game starting for Detroit. So maybe he's getting his legs under him. And what better way to do it and what better team to do it against than Washington? Next game on tap is Jacksonville versus Tennessee. Tough game to pick because Foles is back with Jacksonville, but I'm not sure how good their offensive line will be against the Tennessee Titans. So I'm going with Tennessee in this game. Black is also going with Tennessee. And Ice, who you got?
Yeah, it's rough. Fournette didn't really, they really didn't work with Fournette. When Foles came back, they started throwing the ball a little bit. But I don't think they're strong enough. Tennessee can fool you. And I'm not sure what they're going to do this week, but I had to choose the Titans.
All right. Pop is choosing the Titans also. Seems like everybody's kind of staying close to each other this week. So looking at the picks, we'll see at the end. Next game on tap is the Dallas Cowboys versus the New England Patriots. I'm going with the New England Patriots because Dallas has not won a game against a team with a winning record. They can beat up on the teams that don't have winning records, but they can't beat teams with winning records and going to Foxborough. I don't see it happening. And they have to go up against that New England defense who do that cover zero. When they come to that cover zero, not too many teams can defend that. Black is going with Dallas in this one. Ice, what you got?
Yeah, Black Thor refuses to give that thing up. He hate the hating Tom
Brady.
He's swinging,
baby.
Look, he hate Tom Brady more than he does Dallas. Wow. I watch both teams. I watch Dallas, and I'm not impressed. Again, Dak Prescott went through 444 yards last week, but you're going away from the main factor. You need to keep Zeke in the game, and you don't do that. That's going to hurt them. And I think Tom Brady is probably ticked off the way that they played last week. They've been on edge like the last 2 weeks. He's been getting crushed, and I think he's going to try to set the precedent up there in Foxborough. So I'm going to go with New England.
Yeah, I think they get one of their offensive linemen back. And like I said, you know, Belichick's going to take what you like to do from you the most, and then he'll risk you beating him on what you don't really like to do. So if it's the running game that Dallas wants to kind of exploit New England, he ain't going to let it happen. He's going to take that from you. So what else you got? Pop is going with New England. He ain't going with his boys, and I was surprised. The next game on tap, this is going to be a tough one. It's a toss-up here. Green Bay versus San Francisco. I'm going to go with San Francisco basically because they're at home and they got a real great defense, and they're going to be up to play Aaron Rodgers. Even though I would love to pick Green Bay, even though, you know, Aaron Rodgers is like one of my favorite players in the NFL, I just can't see them going into San Francisco and beating them. And they went, I think, to a California team not too long ago, the Los Angeles Chargers, and laid an egg in that game. So they like to go out in California and party instead of playing football. So I'm hoping that happens. Black Thor is going with Green Bay. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, I got to go with Discount Double Check. Discount Double Check. You know what that was like last time he was in California, and he was going to come with it. So, and I think San Francisco is showing a little wear. When Seattle was able to take them down, I think Rodgers had a little bit more working with him, and then it depends on what San Francisco does, because your buddy's been up and down. I mean, he's thrown some passes, but the quarterback, Garoppolo, has been a little shaky, and Green Bay can get after you, so especially with Rodgers at the helm. I'm going to go with Green Bay.
All right. Pop is going with San Francisco also. Next game on tap is Baltimore versus the Los Angeles Rams. Los Angeles Rams coming off a victory off Chicago did not look impressive. On the other hand, Lamar Jackson is looking like the MVP. And that offense was impressive last week against Houston. Even though J.J. Watt is out, it was still impressive. And they don't have Clowney anymore. So Houston is not the same team defensively that they once were, but wow. To throw up 41 points on that, that's kind of that's impressive. I'm going with Baltimore. Black is going with Baltimore. Ice, what you got?
Yeah, I'm going with Baltimore because I think they're coming together as a team. Everybody's talking about Lamar Jackson, but the defense is playing hard. Ingram is not getting as many touches as he was before. They were using, I think, that second running back over there is it Andrews. They're using a lot of pieces. But one of the things I will say is very impressive is the fact that the way that Lamar Jackson is now using his two tight ends. He's made the starting tight end Andrews like looks like he's a superstar now. So he's really using all of his options that are available to him, which makes for a better team offensively. And the defense is feeding off of that. So Baltimore.
Okay, folks. Pop is picking, and surprise, surprise, the L.A. Rams at home. He's picking the home team. Maybe he sees something in that defense. I don't know. But we'll see. He stopped using the newspaper, and he got a tablet. So he was yelling at the tablet, asking his questions. It was the funniest thing. I heard it a long time, and I'm like, Pop, why are you yelling at the tablet? So he put down the paper. Maybe that's why his picks have been better, because he said they're asking too much for the newspaper. So he used to make his picks from the newspaper. Now Pop is jumped into modern technology. He's using a tablet. Watch out, folks. But anyway, we'll post our picks up on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram. We'll take a break and come back and talk some more sports right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. A 1-2, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, comp says the beat is short shot. Come on. Come
I met
on.
This girl when I was 10 years old. And what I love most, she had so much soul. She was old school, and I was just a shorty, never knew. Throughout my life, she would be there for me on the regular. Not a church girl, she was secular. Not about the money, those stuff was my checker, but I respected her. She hit me in the heart. A few New York niggas had dinner in the park. But she was there for me, and I was there for her. Pull out a chair for her, turn on the air for her, and just cool out. Cool out and listen to her. Sitting on bone, wishing that I could do eventually. If it was meant to be, then it would be because we related physically and mentally, and she was fun then. I'd be geeked when she come around. Slim was fresh, yo, when she was underground, original, pure, untapped, a down sister. Boy, I tell you, I miss her.
Yes, yes, y'all, if you don't stop.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. It's Puma along with Icewater. Icewater, I'm sitting here. Channel surfing and just clicked in. I clicked in about a while ago. Dallas versus Golden State, man. How the mighty have fallen with Golden State with all the injuries. But Luka Doncic had 33 points at halftime, bro. Dallas is winning 101-58 in the third quarter. It's towards the end of the third quarter, man. I mean, just Luka Doncic is just clowning. Just clowning. And basically, I think they're shooting almost 70%. I mean, it's just ridiculous what the Mavericks are doing. Yeah, they're shooting about 67%. Their biggest lead was about 45 points. I mean, it's been ugly, ugly, ugly. And this is like a featured game. I guess the late night game against the Clippers and the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics are 11-2, and the Clippers, I thought we'd have a better record there at 9-5. That's the marquee game tonight on ESPN. But I expected a little bit more from the Golden State Warriors, even though they have a young team. They are getting spanked. It's only third quarter. These are one of these games where they should have a rule where you should just call it because there's no way the other team's coming back. But let's talk, before we go back to NBA basketball, let's talk some NCAA football, man. And there were some surprise, well, maybe a surprise to you. Minnesota lost their game. So after the big win against Penn State, they dropped. and dropped the game. And so they dropped to number 10 in the rankings. They play Northwestern this week. Florida, Florida State, the rivalry game, that's going to be played the following week on the 30th. You have Wisconsin and Purdue playing. But LSU and Ohio State, I think, switched spots. I think LSU is number one in the rankings. Ohio State's number two. Clemson, I'm sorry, is number three. Georgia, who may have a tough game this weekend against Texas A&M, number four, followed by Alabama, Oregon, Utah, Penn State, Oklahoma, and the aforementioned Minnesota. Give me your eye test, man, and some of the things that stood out to you in NCAA football last week.
Yeah, a lot of stuff was going on. You mentioned about the Iowa over Minnesota. It did not surprise me, but it stood out from the standpoint of it's very difficult to go into Iowa and win because it's usually a low-scoring game, and I wasn't sure Minnesota was built for that because they like to move the ball and pass a lot, and they also like to score a lot of points. And I wanted to see if they were up for the challenge because a lot of people want to put them up higher up in the rankings, and I think we got our answer. Not saying they're not a good team, but I'm not sure if they're ready to be considered for that top four just yet. Penn State sneaking by Indiana. I know they had some injuries, but Indiana comes to play real hard. Georgia defeating Auburn. Auburn came in real strong and gave Georgia all they wanted. It's going to be interesting to see how things progress that way. Another game, Iowa State over Texas. This is supposed to be Texas' year. This is supposed to be where they're going to be better. And they probably will make a bowl game, but there's a lot of work to be done. There are a lot of disappointed people down in Austin. Last but not least, I know you'll talk about this as well, I was watching this game late, but totally impressed by Oklahoma versus Baylor. Not because of the fact of what Jalen Hurts did, and they did that without his top receiver, Lamb, but just in general, Baylor's a very good team. Very good team. I like watching them, but the fact that the swag and just the relentless manner that Oklahoma showed in that comeback, because they could have just laid down, but they kept fighting, and overall as a team, they got it done. So I expect big things from Baylor. I like Oklahoma, so it was just an enjoyable game to watch, and that really stood out to me because it's not oftentimes. It's kind of like watching SEC Alabama versus LSU, back and forth with LSU and Alabama, even Clemson 2 years ago. Nonstop action, and in the end, the sole survivor is going to outlast their opponent, and that's what happened in this game. Great game, though.
Yeah, I knew Baylor was pretty strong, and it wouldn't have been a surprise to me if they would have beat Oklahoma. But Oklahoma really had to win this game to stay in contention in case one of the top four fall or teams ahead of them fall to get a shot. And so they really had to make up for the loss that they had the previous week or the previous game. And so hell of a game. I'm looking forward to seeing Baylor in a bowl game. They're ranked number 14th right now. They just dropped one. Michigan beat Michigan State, and they're trying to make a statement, and they go up against Indiana next. So I was glad to see that Michigan really is not falling off. They're really coming to play football, and they're going to have a good season. And Harbaugh needs to be commended for that. I know people got on him for, not really kind of coaching up his team and them falling to teams in the Big Ten, especially Ohio State and all the rest of the teams. But he stuck in there. And he had a quote this week that said, when you plant a potato, you don't expect to eat it the next day. And so basically what he's saying is this is going to take time. And so, but you can see that his team is getting better. And hopefully they'll be contenders to make the Big Ten, one of those power conferences that are a conference to reckon with when you talk about putting people in the playoffs and in the bowl. The big game this weekend that I think that, and I said this, I think last week or previous weeks, that if Penn State really wants to kind of go out with a bang, they're going to have to play their best against Ohio State and knock Ohio State out the playoffs. That will make their season if they do that. If you can't play in the playoffs, knock out a team that's in the playoffs. And I expect them to be very, very hyped for this game, to play them very hyped. Whether they win or not, I don't know, but that's why they play the game. Arizona State, you have Oregon who have stayed in the spot and waiting for a team in the top four to drop. But I'm looking for Herm Edwards to have his team ready to go against Oregon and say, hey, boys, this is our chance to knock out a team that's trying to get in the playoffs so this can make our season. So I think what I'm saying, Ice, is that I'm looking for some upsets this week. But I'm looking for it because some of these teams aren't going to get to the playoffs. They'll probably play a bowl game. But what can you put your hang your hat on for a season and say, you know what, we didn't make it to the top prize, but we knocked out one of the teams that were closer to us to make it, and that may make our season. That's what I'm looking for this week. And there's some big games this week. But what are the games you're going to be looking out for? And what's going to be like the pivotal games that are going to kind of move the metric a little bit?
Yeah, well, Penn State better bring somebody, a couple more people with them. Because the only reason why I'm saying that, I'm not trying to be fun, is I know that there's a chance their wide receiver is injured. He'll probably try to play. He may not be up to par. They also had an issue with one of their, I think, their star running back. So those two guys are going to be instrumental. The only reason why I said that, too, is this is the return of Chase Young, who set out for two games. So Chase Young is coming out. This is the last home game for seniors for Ohio State. And technically, if you look at it, I know I'm not throwing any salt out there, but this could be Chase Young's last home game as a Buckeye if he decides to go pro. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a lot going on, and it's going to be a lot of energy. So, yeah, Penn State might want to come with it stronger if they can. They better find a way. Some other games, too. Texas and Baylor. You know, Texas really doesn't want to keep losing games, and Baylor is coming off a very difficult loss to Oklahoma. They want to show that they are capable of still being considered at least in the elite, maybe top 10, top 15 teams in the country. So this will be a test for them. Another one that might slide by you is Michigan and Indiana. Michigan is everybody, like you just mentioned, they stand on point. But Indiana, they have a lot of talent. And if Michigan lays down, they could get surprised. So I'm looking at that one. Two other ones real quick. Temple versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati's been on a roll. And Temple has been spoiling a lot of people's party. So Cincinnati's only lost one game. Temple will come to play. It'll be interesting to see how they put that together. And last but not least, just out of GP general principle, because this team plays hard and they score a lot of points at times. TCU can score a lot of points. They're facing Oklahoma. I want to see how things play out there as well.
Yeah. Other games I want to check out is USC versus UCLA, the rivalry game. I know Iowa State's going to put a thumping on Kansas, but I want to see Kansas. I haven't seen them too much all year. SMU versus Navy, that should be a good game. You mentioned some of the other games, the Baylor-Texas game. Of course, that's going to be a good game. The rivalry game against Florida, Florida State. Florida State is bowl eligible. And it's ironic that they got rid of the coach and now they're bowl eligible. Could have kept them for the rest of the season. Let the man get a bowl game at least. But a game that I'm going to be keeping a close watch on, you got Clemson there at 11-0. And it's a rivalry game with South Carolina. So I'm going to keep a little eye on that to see if Clemson, if they falter, because they've been playing really good football for the last few weeks after that close call against North Carolina. But this is a rivalry game. These are some of the same kids that play against each other in high school and recruiting in South Carolina. So let's see if folks got something approved. These are one of these games, Ice, where – they have the recruits sitting up in the stands, and so they're trying to convince folks to come to their school. So, you know, you want people from South Carolina, the great players, the great high school players out of South Carolina, and parts of North Carolina and Georgia, to see whether it's Clemson or South Carolina. This should be a good one. But if Clemson has their way, they're going to run away from it in the second quarter if South Carolina is not ready to play. Any other thoughts on NCAA football, man?
Well, we know it's getting tight right now, getting real close. So people now know that one mistake can put you in a bad position. So this makes for great TV. Plus, one of the things I will say is a lot of people have talked about this, but with Tua being out for the year, people now are going to be looking at Alabama a different way. Some people are jumping off the bandwagon already. It'll be interesting to see what Nick Saban can do with his team now that his star player is gone, one of his star players is gone. But the backup quarterback is not bad. He can move the ball. But we'll see, will this team rally around Coach Saban and what they do? Because I'm sure they have a lot of pride, and they want to show you that they're still capable and should be recognized that they're still Alabama. So we need to pay close attention to how that plays out.
You know what, Ice, I didn't want to talk about it, but since you mentioned it, that left a bad taste in my mouth, and here's why. Is you're up 35-7. Does Tua really need to be in the game? And, you know, with all the injuries he's had this year, and he really couldn't get away, especially in the LSU game, he really couldn't get away from the defenders. And so why not play your backup quarterback? And you got the game in hand. The other thing is that people are saying, and help me out if I'm wrong about this, is that the injury Tua has is pretty much the same injury that Bo Jackson had. And you know how that ended up. So am I off base with this, or what was your thoughts? Because when I saw that, I'm like, why was he in the game? Because I think they took a timeout. He was talking to Tua on the sideline, and it's like, okay, you know, you're up 35-7. Take him out. How many more points you need to solidify the win? What's your thoughts on that, Mo?
Yeah, I think that overall, Israel really should not have been in the game. What I find interesting is when he had the injury where he was kind of limping around versus LSU, it's
mm-hmm.
almost as if, did you even really need him in that game? And
right.
You know what that reminded me of? I know it's totally different, but he went from one extreme to the next. People thought it was his ankle, and then they come back and they say, well, this has nothing to do with the previous injury. But when you think about it, it really did. It reminded
yeah.
me of the Kevin Durant injury when he got hurt and he tried to come back. It's your leg. When certain parts of your body and the bottom part doesn't work, something else is going to have to give, right?
Compensate.
He was not healthy.
Yeah,
it has to. And the way when you see that kind of went from here, now he twisted his hip is compensating for the lower part of his leg. I just, when I heard the injury, I was like, oh man, this is really messed up. So I understand. I think he probably should have set out two games. They didn't need him. Why is he even in that game? If you're going to use him down the line, why wouldn't you wait for a game that you know you need him? But when you put him out there, there's a chance, and the way he got hit and came down on his leg, it was like, wow, it was really nasty. And they said he was screaming in pain when they put him out, when they put him off. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
And he got bruised up where his face was bloody and all of the above. So tough hit, man. Tough kid, though. Tough guy. And wish him well.
Yeah, but when they said that it's the same injury that Bo Jackson had, you know, it just made me feel really bad and really mad at Nick Saban for, you know, how much is enough? You know, these kids don't play for money. They don't play for money. They're playing for their shot to go to the next level so they can make some money. And you keep trotting them out there. I know kids want to play. They got the pride for their school. But come on, man. You know, you're thinking about the career for this young man who, you know, maybe he's not going to get the Heisman this year. So what? Maybe he can, you know, rehab from the first injury with the ankle and get back and play football next year and play on Sunday. But if it happens where Nick Saban didn't make a good decision and this kid can't play on the next level, It's going to be hard for me to kind of look at Nick Saban as one of those great coaches. It really is. And to me, just to me, my opinion, he does this for himself. He don't give a damn about them kids. He really doesn't. He's doing this for himself. And his attitude towards it, no remorse, just, you know, next play, next player, you know. So, you know, it just makes me think that reason why I kept him in the game is because we needed more than 35 points to impress the committee. So if anything happens, we get in the playoffs. Instead of looking at the health and welfare of this player. And that's what really kind of burned me up when I saw it happen, that they didn't need him in the game. But it was because we need more points to show the committee that we need to be a playoff team. And so, and you know, when you get in the playoffs, the coaches get more money. It's simple and plain. Let's go on. Let's take a break, man. Let's take a break, and then we'll come to talk about NBA basketball, man. There's a lot of stuff happening in the NBA basketball, and LeBron he has a triple-double against every team in the NBA. Either you're just playing too long or you're that good. We'll talk about that when we get back.
Yeah, baby boy, in the place to be. I'm writing shit that I feel. Raps of black steel in the hour of commotion. The motion of calm. It's like that of an ocean devotion. Cause I'm the earth, wind, and fire. A hip hop, I rock him in short. I've been inspired. My shit knocks and fire. Men's the cats with 17. 10. Time is money. The mind is funny. How it's spent on getting it. I'm sitting with descendants of Abraham. Who say the jam is money, cash hoes. I went from bashful to asshole to international. Love of self. Word to mother on my last record cover is felt. Now deal with it.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
Yeah.
It's Puma along with Ice Water. We're going to talk some NBA basketball. A lot of things happening in the NBA, man. Looking at the stats and the standings. Boston, 11-2, 9-1 in the last 10 games. Milwaukee is lagging behind a little bit, but they have rattled off an 8-2 record in the last 10 games. They're one game behind the Boston Celtics, followed by Miami, Toronto. Philadelphia, Embiid is picking fights with everybody. He's going to get his ass kicked, I'm telling you. Indiana is hanging in there. And these are some bottom feeder teams that you need to look out for. You got Orlando, who is 5-5 in their last 10. They're 6-7, right behind, a game and a half behind Indiana. And then Charlotte, even though they've been 5-5 in the last 10, they're hanging around. They are hanging around. Going to the West, you have the Lakers at 12-2 record, followed by Houston, one game behind them, 8-2 in the last 10. Denver, 9-3, 7-3 in the last 10. The Clippers, I thought the Clippers would be higher. Everybody was talking about the Clippers being the team to beat, but they are lagging behind with a 9-5 record. I don't think, Ice, and you can respond to this, that switching off with having that load management with Kawhi Leonard is working out, because some of those games he's losing. They're losing. Dallas, just watching them, and they're all over the Warriors. They're 8-5, and then Utah's 8-5. Minnesota's 8-6. Phoenix is 7-6. They slowed down a little bit to the 5-5 record in the last 10. But Memphis, I'm looking at Memphis. I had a chance to watch Memphis. Ja Morant is the truth. But they just don't have enough. They're one of them bottom feeder teams, and a surprise that I didn't think was going to happen because of the coach. You got Popovich, who has the San Antonio team at a 5-9 record, and they are 2-8 in their last 10. Your eye test, Ice Water, from the NBA.
Yeah, first of all, let's get down to a couple brass tactics. Phoenix is struggling because Ayton is not playing. He's still on suspension. I think he's on game 11 out of 25. He may not be back till January, so that really is affecting Phoenix. They're trying to put some things together, smoke and mirrors. You mentioned about the Clippers and load management. Is your TV working tonight?
Yeah, because they don't play tonight because they probably got ESPN on their behind saying, he better play tonight because we got advertisers watching this game.
Your TV working tonight then, right?
Yeah, my TV working tonight.
Okay, so this is what tonight is what you're going to find out who they what they made of. That's the kind of team. Now, granted, I understand about of them being where they're at right now, but we're only about 12, 13 games in. Lakers have definitely been impressive as well. 9-1 in their last 10. LeBron has been arrested LeBron, throwing a lot of assists. Anthony Davis playing well. That team overall, they're kind of getting ready because he has a lot to prove. We hadn't said a lot, but he's putting things in place for them to make a serious run. And even though you most people want to throw him out and say this horrible experience is not working, the Houston Rockets are 11-3, and they won 8 straight. They won 8 straight. So love them or hate them, talk about them, put them down. They're still making moves, and they're still getting the job done. I'm impressed by that. One other note, even though this team is out of the top 8 in their division in the West, is the Sacramento Kings. And they won a couple games recently. Buddy Hield is really going off. He's playing really good ball, shooting the ball well. And they've been winning without De'Aaron Fox. He's been out. And they found different ways, different players to get it done. So I like their effort. I like their push because we had thrown in the towel on Luke Walton earlier and said that he perhaps was not able to reach those guys. But they've been looking pretty good from that standpoint, at least for the last couple of games. There's a lot of competition right now, also in Minnesota. When he's healthy, we've been having a lot of – you have Big Cat getting it done. And then Wiggins. Wiggins is playing real well out there. And I think because watching after so many years with Jimmy Butler and other people, and I think they finally just told him, we need you to step up. And I'm not sure if a coach has ever told him that before. We need you to play your game to the best of your ability to be a leader for us. And he's shown that different attitude with somebody turning that switch on for him.
Yeah. I was looking at Sacramento. They're 6-4 in the last 10. And, I don't get to see them too often because, West Coast, and I'm usually in the bed by that time. But one of the things that you were texting me about the Knicks last week, and I told you the Knicks are similar to Chicago. And here's why I say this. Chicago and the Knicks, they're two teams that don't really have an identity. And so what happens is when they play teams that are real good, they play up to the competition. They play teams that are kind of equal to them, a little less. They play down to the competition. So if you run with them, they're going to try to run. If you try to play half court, they're going to try to play half court. If you try to play physical, they're going to try to play physical. And until these two teams get an identity of who they are and utilize their players and put them in their proper roles, I think they're always going to struggle. And so I saw the Knicks play last week, and they played a great game. Played a great game, hung in there, stayed focused for the whole duration of the game, and won. And then you have games like tonight where, and this is my problem with them, they'll stay focused up until the third quarter, and it's almost like they kind of wake up and go, man, we're in this game, and lose it, and lose it big. And so these teams, it's like I identify two teams. Which other teams do you kind of look at, Ice, that really just don't have an identity, that really needs an identity to get in the mix when it comes to the playoffs? Because I just named two teams, the Knicks and Chicago. We're watching the Chicago because I live here, but just being a Knicks fan, you watch them and you go, man, they need an identity. And I remember talking to Black earlier this season, it's like the Knicks have to play like bully ball. They got to be tough. They got to go out there and knock people on the ground. They got to kind of establish themselves as this tough team that whenever you come into the Garden or wherever you play them, teams look at you at the schedule like, oh, man, we got to play these guys. This is going to be a game. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a fight. And they got to establish that kind of identity because I don't see them having those players that are going to wow you on the offense, wow you on the defense, and or just going to run away from you like we saw those previous Warriors teams. So what are those teams that really are fighting for an identity that you can identify in the NBA?
You mentioned before about the Knicks, but I think the Knicks, they kind of know where they're at. They're trying to build on youth. But one of their major pickups, and that's why Coach Popovich is pissed off, Marcus Morris is playing ball, bro, over there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a leading scorer. He's a grown man. He is a grown man. He can, and he doesn't care who comes in that night or whoever they're playing. It's like, okay, watch me. And I think if you can get some of the younger guys to kind of follow his lead and the coach can kind of calm down a little bit, they might make a little noise, at least to kind of win a few games. I think Detroit is one of those teams, like right now, because they're 4-9. Blake Griffin is trying, but you know, they threw all their chips in on Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose is good, but he's had his day. It would have been nice to come off the bench, but they're really struggling with that, with an identity, because they don't have – you've had Luke Kennard, who's been shooting the ball pretty well, but they don't have that person, that guard or something that can kind of – bring it all together because you have Drummond too. So you need other pieces. You need a nice little small forward and you need a point guard. And they don't really have that. Like I said, Derrick Rose come in and shoot, but you need somebody that can put that together and gel everything together like that. So I think that's an issue too. And nobody's talking about it, but I'm going to throw it out there because, you know, I want to make sure I'm fair, but I had to put it out there. The Washington Wizards are 3-8. And I know they're young, but the other folks swear to Mr. Beal. They gave them all the money and everything like that. And right now, they're struggling.
I know where you're going.
I'm just saying. Somebody is sitting there watching on TV.
So when is he coming back? When is he coming back?
I don't think he's coming this year. No, he's not playing this year. He's hurt.
John Wall's not going to play this year?
I don't think so. I think he's out for the year. Yeah, so, I mean, but the only thing about it is, Rui Hachimura is playing his butt off over there. My Asian guy from Gonzaga is playing real well. Also, somebody that I put up a little note, because I know one of Black Thor's favorite people, Mo Wagner is playing over here in Washington. Mo Wagner, resurgence for him. So, yeah, so when things are not well and then you got young guys playing, sometimes it can be a resurgence for them. But I'm not sure what the situation is with Washington. And I'm still, you know, everybody's excited about it. But one of those other teams I would throw in there about identity is Atlanta. I know they have Mr. Trey, but
Trey Young.
I think that they need to they had to figure that out. Because that's not enough. They have a lot of young talent, but you have to have something that kind of goes along with that. Vince Carter's not the answer. It's not going to be your answer.
I don't think they expected Vince to be the answer. I think he's a veteran that can come off the bench and kind of help shape the team. But I never thought he was the answer. He can still ball. So why not have a veteran that can give you 10, 12 minutes off the bench and can help guide the young guys?
No, I'm with that, but I'm not saying that to throw him under the bus. Not at all. I'm just being really a little funny. But I'm just like, from the standpoint of Atlanta has to find something else. It's like, well, we got Trae Young, we're good. No. You need more players. Because he can shoot the ball, and some people want to call him the future Steph Curry. No, he's not. He needs to have other people helping him. They need to put him in a position where he does not have to carry the load. And I think that is so difficult for them because this is a guy that's averaging – he averages 27 points a game, okay? 27 points a game. He is shooting 44% from the field, which means he's jacking up all kind of shots, which is fine. That's what they wanted to do. He's taking the most shots on the team. But with that being said, there's nothing else. Their second leading scorer right now is Jabari, a reconditioned Jabari Parker. I mean, I'm just saying, what are you doing? So they have a lot. I mean, that does not say a lot about that. So you wonder where their focus is and where their identity is. Because while he's averaging, Trae Young is averaging 27 points a game, he's out there by himself and he's jacking up some shots that's not going to help the team win is what I'm trying to say. They need to find more talent and need to spread that out, which means he's going to have to score less points and understand that he's not the second coming of Allen Iverson. That's just my opinion on that.
Jabari, they don't pay me to play defense. Parker. Wow. Okay. Luka Doncic is playing out of his mind, man. He's playing out of his mind. So is LeBron James. Just wondering how long he can keep it up with the triple doubles and playing point guard for the Lakers. They're having a good time right now. It's they haven't reached that 20 game point yet where I really kind of zoom in on the NBA. So we'll see. But what do you think about Luka Doncic, the way he's been playing? And they're talking about MVP already, and it's barely 10 games in the season.
Well, it's a nice story, and it's good because it's Dallas, and I'm not trying to be funny. And he's overseas, so they love that. He's playing. He's very impressive. He's a great player. But like anything else, what I think Dallas is missing is they need to have more bodies around him. Porzingis is kind of struggling when he's healthy to kind of come out and do his thing. But he's a great talent, and in order for him to get his just due, they still need to surround him with better talent in Dallas. And that's been a struggle for Mark Cuban and his team to grab top-notch free agents to Dallas. With all of the money and all of the things that he does, people really are just not going to Dallas. And that's a problem. So you can have Luka all you want, and he's an outstanding talent. He's going to show you that. But you have to surround him with decent talent if you really want to be taken seriously.
Yeah, and I'm wondering why they can't get people in Dallas, because Dallas is kind of a happening city. You know, it's not like one of them country cities with nothing in it. It's a cosmopolitan city. So I wonder why they can't get – I mean, you got an owner who has money, so why can't you get people there? I always wondered that. It's just a rhetorical question, but, you got an owner that doesn't mind spending money for good players, yet people won't come to Dallas. So it makes you wonder. It just makes you wonder whether or not it's the city, the people, it's the organization. I know why people aren't coming to New York. It's the owner. But Mark Cuban seems to be an owner that you want to play for, that, you know, you can have a great relationship with as a player. There's certain organizations that if I was a pro player, there's certain organizations I want to play for. I want to play for Popovich in San Antonio. I would probably want to play for the Clippers with Doc Rivers, a coach that you can relate to, things of that sort. There's certain coaches, even Steve Kerr. Black probably won't believe that, but Steve Kerr, he understands the game. He can coach you up. He can bring out the best in you. I want to play for teams that can bring out the best of you. So teams like Washington, the Bulls, the Pistons, teams like that, I'm not sure I want to play with because I don't know what they're going to bring to the table as far as, of course, Toronto, I would like to play there. Philly, tough town. So you're not doing well, you're going to get hurt. I would not play, even though I'm a Knicks fan, would not want to play in New York because of the owner and the culture of that particular team. So, I always wonder about that. I don't know if you had anything to say about that, but I always wonder why certain teams that seem to have a good owner, seem to have a good organization, they treat their players well. Why wouldn't players want to go there?
Well, I mean, nobody really talks about it, but I think you got to look at Rick Carlisle, the coach at Dallas. He has
right.
a certain kind of way that he did. He coached the same way down in, over in Indiana, where it's kind of stick to the guns and you play good, slow the ball down, ball down and play hard defense. And he's kind of a no-nonsense type of guy. It doesn't always work for certain people. And sometimes you, even with Bobby Knight, when he coached Michael Jordan in the Olympics, sometimes you just got to let guys be. And I think he's letting Luka do that, but you need more of that. And I think that might be a turnoff with that in that regard. They had their nice little run, and, you know, you can keep doing the same thing over and over, you can change it. But if you're not drawing the talent, there's a reason why you're not drawing free agent talent down there. It's either the way that you're running the team, which is hard to believe, or it's the way that the philosophy of said coach is running the team overall, the day-to-day operation in regards to how they go about their business and the style of play as well.
Yeah, or maybe the GM. I don't know. It's just, you know, because a lot of people are saying nobody's going to the Lakers because you got LeBron over there. Or some of the players that you don't want to play with, or the Lakers organization seemed to be in a shambles, and they couldn't get out the way, so it just kind of you know, it just makes you wonder why these teams have a problem or struggle attracting free agents or players that could really help their team. Let's take a quick break, and we will come back, and we can talk a little bit of boxing, Ice. But if you have some questions, we'll go with questions from the goons. But I'm pretty sure Ice want to talk a little bit of boxing, because me and him were fighting on the first 40 about who's going to win between Ortiz and Wilder. We'll be back on the goons.
So far down concrete, there, boy. My love, I choose. Watch out. Chuck it. Boom. You know what I mean? Mid the powder, all 14. You know what I mean? And reload my next magazine. You know what I mean? And wounded them mouths in scheme. Know what I mean? So far, them, I move sideways and lean. Know what I mean? Can't come out when man the E. Know what I mean? We not like them colonial regime. Know what I mean? Ethiopia not like Mussolini. Know what I mean? My queen of Iraq and come in. Know what I mean? And jump on that big trampoline. Know what I mean? And boost up our self esteem. You know what I mean? No for one, the home and kitchen so clean, know what I mean? And which recipe that I steam, know what I mean? The lyrics them a flow like a stream, know what I mean? Make you feel like you're living in a dream, know what I mean? It come to the crap, man, I cream, know what I mean? It come to discipline, man, I steam, know what I mean? Me tougher than a home and him a scene, know what I mean? We step in, we fresh and we clean, know what I mean? I burn the stink, yes, I'm green, know what I mean? Better listen up, careful and keen, know what I mean? I poop another rock and come in.
We celebrate like I finished probation, boy, boy. 90-10 with no chaser, boy, boy. From the mouth, I can spit out a razor, boy, boy. Open up your face, you like your boy, Roy in his prime. Eat food, dinner time, junior gong, past beginners. Handle business, black velvet, sippers, females. Never bid us so well, they with us. Cause we arrive on a scene just like a high beam, nah, I mean. Don't let us have to make the nine scream, nah, I mean. At your racial policing regime, nah, I mean. Spiritual well like an Elohim, nah, I mean. In a casino or yeah, wherever I'm seen, my brothers and sisters are never forgotten. I mean, don't want to hear another soldier drop. Now I mean, another
back to the
shot with
the radio
show. And feds are indicting my block.
Now I mean, they're wearing red. I'm really surprised at the play of Kobe White, man, for the Bulls. Didn't expect him to come into the league and do some of the things he's doing. Right now, they're beating Detroit 93-77. He has 12 points. One assist and four rebounds. Marketing, I think, is the leading scorer for the Bulls tonight. And, you know, it's just one of those things where the Bulls play to their competition, but tonight they're pulling out all the stops and everybody's playing really well. I would think that the Bulls, Zach LaVine, will be the leader, the lead scorer every night. But some nights he is. It's inconsistent. Side that, let's put the NBA away. Boxing. I'm still trying to do my research and homework on the UFC MMA and watching different shows and reading. So I'm going to be ready for you in a little bit with that sport. But you got the big fight this weekend, Ortiz and Wilder. For the folks to give them a teaser on the first 40. What were your thoughts about this fight coming up this weekend and your prediction for the fight, sir?
Yeah, you already know. Real quick, too, about the Bulls. Kobe White, I tried to tell you about that Kobe White when I saw him at North Carolina live in Columbus. I tried to say that guy is special.
Yeah, you did.
And he's going to make some noise. It may take him a little bit. But certain times you can just look at guys with it. Not just the confidence, but the way that they play ball. They have a true understanding of the game. So that I'm not surprised by that. I know I shouldn't do it, but I do it anyway. When I go into boxing, I keep looking at these top 10 lists, and for some reason or another, they refuse on all channels to I'm trying to see what's wrong with. He must have something coming out of the front of his head or something. Deontay Wilder, 41-0.
I told you why.
And I know you told me, but it doesn't make sense when you have Triple G is in the top 10. And they even have Mikey Garcia and Keith Thurman with no mention of Deontay Wilder. There's no way. Anyway, you asked me about the fight. So, Luis Ortiz is 31-1. He's only lost one time. And the only time he lost was to Deontay Wilder. I know a lot of people, even though he's not, Deontay Wilder is not chopped him material, according to most. He's got type 10 material, but he fight anybody and he'll knock out anybody or he'll do whatever he has to do to win on anybody. He still can't get any love. I think his style, he comes in, he's not going to box, that's fine, but he finds a way to win. I think that's the most important thing to me when you're watching boxing. Guys that find a way to win. I mean, I think he's more of a, they want to call him a one-trick pony. He's more of a technician from the standpoint of he will alter or adjust to find what he needs to do to win. He got touched, I think it was in the seventh round in the first fight, and you saw then that he was vulnerable to get hurt by a man that was known to be in the hurt business and has knocked out many of fighters. But when it comes down to it, I think it's just a factor that Ortiz is he's a good fighter. He's strong, older, and he's dangerous. But I don't think and he's left-handed. I don't think he's just ready enough to do what he needs to do. He's not ready to have the style to defeat Wilder unless he catches him. Because, again, Luis Ortiz is 31-1, 26 knockouts. 26 knockouts. Nobody wants to fight him, though. I'm looking at his record of the different people that he's fought. Nobody wants to fight him. But the fact is that Ortiz gets a second chance with Wilder, he doesn't get any love for that. And if he wins this fight, it's still not going to matter. Again, I'm gonna pull out an old Colin Kaepernick type of reference. Quit hiding. You know where we're at. Call us, Anthony Joshua, some of these other guys. Fight. Come out and prove that you're worthy, and let's fight Deontay Wilder because he's not hiding. He'll fight anybody, even though he can't get any respect. He is the Rodney Dangerfield of boxing right about now.
I said this on the first 40, and check us out on YouTube on the first 40. I don't believe Deontay Wilder has developed better boxing skills since his last fight or more discipline in his last fight. I think he thinks he's the man of this division. I think he thinks, okay, I beat this guy before. This guy couldn't withstand my knockout punch, so I'm just going to wait on that punch like he did with Tyson Fury. And I think people can learn from the way Tyson Fury fought Deontay Wilder to learn how to not get knocked out by Deontay Wilder. He likes to load up. When you see him kind of paw with that left and then rev back, get out the way. Get out the range. That's it. Don't engage. Get out the range. That's what Tyson Fury did. Up until the 11th round when he got knocked on his feet, but he got up. He got up, and And we argued about this before. If Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder would have beat Tyson Fury, he would be in the top 10. You cannot put both of them in the top 10, especially Tyson Fury. So if you tied against Tyson Fury, who is the quote-unquote linear champion, then you can't just put Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury in. If he would have won that fight, top 10, automatic, no problem. But he did not win that fight. He did not take care of business. And that's why he's not in that top 10. Until he does, because him fighting Ortiz is not going to put him in the top 10. He got to beat Tyson Fury to get in that top 10. That's the guy that came close to beating him. And he was beating him in that fight. Tyson Fury was beating him in that fight and I think got robbed. He should have won that fight. But if he didn't knock him down in 11th, he probably would have won that fight. But I don't think that this guy, to me, and I'd be surprised on Saturday if Deontay Wilder shows any skills, new skills that he developed as to become a boxer instead of a knockout artist. And I'm looking for Ortiz to either knock him out or a split decision at the end of the fight to make things interesting in the boxing world. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. But if he gets caught, gets too close, Deontay Wilder will land that punch and most likely knock him out, just like he did in the previous fight. But me and my angry little crew are rooting for Luis Ortiz to win this boxing match. Can you imagine?
That's wrong.
Can you imagine Joshua gets beat and then Wilder gets beat? And you have champions that just came out of nowhere that weren't supposed to be champions because we're waiting for Wilder and Joshua to fight and Wilder and Tyson to fight and so on and so on. Wouldn't it be more refreshing in the heavyweights just to shake it up a little bit to get Deontay Wilder non-dressing ass out of the heavyweight division championship? I would like to see that. Go ahead and your rebuttal. I'll wait for your rebuttal.
All right. So you basically said you want to see Ortiz win, and then you want to see what's the other guy that's fighting, Joshua's fighting, the other guy. I'm trying to think of his name. The champion.
Ruiz
and Ortiz. That would be a hell of a match. Yeah, Ruiz versus Ortiz for the heavyweight championship. You cannot put pay per view behind that. That will be on Fox.
Well, put
for the heavyweight.
Matter of fact, I would like to see it Cinco de Mayo. I would like to see it.
Oh my God! And then you think you're gonna sell it Vegas? Oh my God! Oh man, that's great.
I would go to Vegas to see that.
That might be one.
Come on, man.
It's
the heavyweight, baby.
Yeah, it is. But let me just say this. You got me all off my train of thought. when you were talking about Wilder the way you were, I was listening, correct? I was listening attentively with you and your little crew. But what you sound like you were describing to me? Another
what?
Boxer? That sounded like you were talking to a man by the name of Iron Mike Tyson. Didn't he do the same thing? He was always in the top 10, wasn't he? Huh? Wasn't he just knocking people out?
But Mike Tyson had boxing skills, though.
Ah, come on. What
was Bob? He had knockout power, but he had defense and boxing skills.
Okay.
You
so,
seen him
so
on the tape a few weeks ago.
I saw
you
that.
You seen him on the tape. Mike still got the
right moves. He moved to the right, hit you in the kidney with a gun with a kidney shot, and then rolled back the other way and then threw an uppercut. That's boxing skill.
That's skill.
Come on, man. That's boxing skill.
Those are skills, man.
That's 1946 Jack Dempsey, a.k.a. Jack Johnson, rolling off, coming off here. Man, come on. When you said that, I'm thinking, man, you sound like you're talking about Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, he was doing one thing, he rolled one way, came up the same way, and remember what Buster Douglas did. Buster Douglas got physical with him and showed you that you didn't have to be scared of him. You could rough him up, and that was the blueprint. would do. That was the blueprint that ended Mike Tyson's career. Because everybody else started getting rough with him. Holyfield started headbutting him, doing all kind of stuff, which we went led to the ear-biting scenario. And he never won a significant fight after that. You remember that? After Buster Douglas put down the blueprint. So I guess what you're saying is Ortiz put down the blueprint. Everybody else can do the same thing, too. Well, that might be true. But I'll say this. Since there's no talent, Deontay Wilder is fighting. Mike Tyson had one hell of a run, and so is Deontay Wilder. He's still rolling pretty strong, and we will see until somebody beat him. Yeah, and let me just say this real quick. Whatever that lineal champion bullshit, especially when around Tyson Fury, man, get out of town. They made that up. It's like they keep making stuff up so they keep moving people up.
I don't like Tyson Fury. I do not like Tyson Fury. I don't think he has any skills whatsoever, but he's clever. He is clever. He is a clever boxer. He does what he needs to do to whatever he does because he's not very skilled. He doesn't look coordinated. He looks unorthodox, but he gets the job done. And with him looking that bad and how he made Wilder look just as bad as he did in that fight, you can't put him in the top 10. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You can't put him in the top. And you tie? When you should have lost, you can't do top 10. Can't go top 10.
Okay.
Sorry.
You know what? And that's fine. I'm glad I'm listening to, I'm receiving this, you and your little crew, because I know they listening too. So to all of you and your little crew. Once Deontay Wilder handles business on Saturday night, okay, say he does, then he's going to move on to February. Okay, actually, February might be a little long later, might be March or April, where he has a date and he's going to take care of Fury. And then after that, if Anthony Joshua wants to get his title back, wants to get himself together and not want to just fight in the overseas, he can get it too. So after he takes Deontay Wilder, takes down Ortiz again, takes down Fury, and then gets ready for Joshua when he disposes of him, what's left? Anybody else? Mike Tyson coming back? What else is left?
Ruiz Ortiz.
Yeah. I just want to know if he wins those fights, can he get into the conversation then for top 10? And if Canelo want to be a grown man and want to come with the heavyweight, he can get it too.
Yeah, just don't put it on the Golden Boy. You got one question before we get out of here?
Yeah, my question is, when we look at all of these things that are going on with Kaepernick and whatnot. Oh, next, you know, I'm gonna flip. I know you don't want to talk about it, but I'm gonna throw this thing at about the Garrett situation. Rudolph, the quarterback for Pittsburgh. Granted, he got slammed down to the ground, but after watching those tapes, my question is, how can you not say, and I know people feel some kind of way because the helmet was taken off and hit him in the head, how can you not feel as if Rudolph deserved more of a punishment after watching what he did on the ground and some other things to Garrett?
I felt he should have been suspended one game also. I really do. And I followed the Pittsburgh Steelers as one of my favorite teams. But what's fair is fair. He was trying to get Garrett's helmet off. He was pulling on Garrett's helmet. And you're going to get hit as a quarterback. You're going to get hit. And he was saying, I didn't like the way he came at me. You're going to get hit, bro. You're a quarterback, man. You're going to get hit. And a defensive lineman has been looking at your chops. But he tried it. I think he initiated by pulling the helmet. Now, at first, I was like, well, what would make Garrett go off like that? And I text you in Black. Did he call him something? Because I'm like, and then one reporter said that he did, and she got in trouble on ESPN. And so that didn't come out. Nothing was said, but he actually tried to take Garrett's helmet off. He should have been penalized for starting that because Garrett wouldn't just go off just to be going off unless something was done. So it's usually the second person that gets caught in the fight instead of the first person. And so, but with the running of the tape, you're right. They should have said, you know what? Upon further review, we got to find you too. You got to lose one game. You got to lose one game. And to me, it's more so privilege that you know, the color of the complexion gets the protection, as Paul Mooney would say. Your thoughts?
Wow, that's deep. I'm going to just say it. I just thought that there should have been more there with the he was frustrated because he got slammed down. As you mentioned, it's still his football. Most times that would just be a 15-yard penalty and you move forward. He didn't do anything else to him by taking his helmet off. The aggression happened after he tried to take Garrett's helmet off, and they're saying there's an alleged crotch punch or something to that effect as well. So a lot was going on, but a lot of people don't want to – they want to talk about the so-called criminal act that they saw. But I'm not saying he didn't deserve – the fine or the suspension, but I think there was something more to it, and it's pretty sad. So as we move forward, you just kind of look at it and you say to yourself, you wonder, what are the people saying with these videotapes? I still are blown away by the fact that Ben Simmons, when he choked Big Cat from Minnesota, choked him in the chokehold. He was supposed to be a man of keeping the peace. And he wasn't fined or suspended at all for holding but grabbing man by the behind his neck trying to hold him down. I just don't understand how they have all this great technology and they still can't get things right.
Yeah. All right. Last second shot
goes out to I'm gonna say it this way. Ladies and gentlemen, NCAA, I think, is not so much seeing the error in their ways when it comes to basketball and football, but they see that change is coming. So, therefore, they are letting things go or they're making changes because they know that modern times are pressing upon them in regards to the players and the players that play for the colleges that they represent. And in order to still be a player in the game, they're going to have to concede some things. And I think that's happening right before your eyes. It may not be exactly the way that you want it, but with Wiseman, I think is a perfect example how things are starting to slowly change without anybody talking about it.
My last second shot is that fans out there, whatever sport you are engaged in and you follow, make these athletes and these public figures accountable. So if they're not supporting you, then why should you support them? Just think about it. If they don't support your causes and what kind of your barriers in life and things that really kind of challenge you in life as far as police brutality, civil rights, things of that sort, if they don't support you, think about it. If they don't support you, why are you supporting them? That's our show for tonight. Make sure you click right back here if you miss any part of the show. Blog Talk Radio, and check out our show, The First 40, on YouTube. We will see you next week. Take care.